Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today is special. I realize normally you would be listening to the latest on health and healing, all from peer-reviewed journals, things that can allow us to live a longer and healthier life. However, I just recorded those, pre-recorded them, just did it on Zoom, and you can go to Gary Nall, the whole, I think we have 5,000 or 6,000 tapes and shows up on YouTube, so Gary Nall YouTube or Gary Nall Rumble, and look under Film Library, and you can see it. It's about almost 50 minutes long. It's really in-depth today. Needless to say, I can't do that and do a regular show. So I'm doing that separate. You can go and get it. It's there. But today is probably a turning point, at least for many people in the audience. Why? Because we are in crisis as never before in our history. We have more issues to face than ever and less honest information from which to make reasoned, intelligent, and common sense practical choices, solutions. What happens if almost all the basis of power have been reverted to tribalism, where the people who head the tribe, and there are thousands of tribes in the United States, you have the financial tribe, the handling all of our economy, and they want to make money for money. Now, mind you, with the amount of money they've earned, trillions of dollars, over the last, let's say, 10, 12 years, they could rebuild all of the industrial base in every city in the United States. So we would have zero poverty, zero unemployment. They've chosen not to. They don't care about you. If we looked at all of the quality information on alternative health care to prevent disease in the first place, and then to use whatever works as orthodox and alternative, we would have far fewer people sick and better outcomes on all their chronic conditions, cancer, diabetes. But we don't. The people who run businesses today are running them for profit, and the biggest business in America, dwarfing all others, is medicine, $4 trillion and counting this year alone. Who owns this? Select groups of equity partners, hedge funds, and people who want to buy up medical practices so they can control the outcome of the treatment you get. Does it improve outcome? No, it does not. In fact, just the opposite. So everywhere you look, for example, the debt that we're all in, it's not being discussed. How to get out of it? It's not being discussed. Could we get out of these high usurious interest rates? Yes, we could, easily. Why won't we? Because the politicians have been given money, lots of it, in order to get them reelected. And in return, the quid pro quo is, don't touch our 500,000% interest rates on payday loans. Don't touch what happens when someone can't make a full mortgage payment, a full car payment, a full credit card payment, full student debt payment, compound the interest. So by the time they finally try to pay off the debt is actually 200 to 300% higher than it was at the beginning. Could they have wiped this out? Easily wiped it out. Who controls most of the student debt? The United States government. Couldn't it just forgive it? It could. It won't. So with inflation, with a housing crisis, with more people going underwater in their mortgages and about to take a big hit, and therefore what they thought was their equity in the future, well, I bought a house for $400,000, it's now worth $600,000, I've got $200,000 equity. Well, you think you do. Take a look around. The average house price has gone down 20 to 30%. In some selective areas, it's gone up and will continue to go up, where very wealthy people want to live in, let's say, Flagstaff in a gated community, or out in Telluride, or in Aspen, or Miami on South Beach, or West Palm Beach, or Naples. But everywhere else, those are going up, and only the super rich can afford them. Everything else is going down. What happens when the value of your house is lower than the cost of your mortgage? You're underwater. And that's before any of the things I'm going to tell you are going to be, and I believe, happening, and I wished I were wrong, but I don't believe I am. So why aren't we asking people to join together who have mortgages and get their legislators to work with this administration to have a moratorium on home foreclosures. No more home foreclosures. Charge 15% of a person's income against whatever the mortgage is or rent is. That would be humane. That would be conscientious. That would show caring about the people. But they don't. You saw that from the fiasco of the subprime mortgage crisis in 2008, where more than 23 million Americans, representing between 5 and 6 million homes, were now homeless. Was there any care for them, any provisions for them, any centers set up? None. You were on your own. Well, now we have another subprime mortgage crisis, and we have a liquidity crisis. We're not talking about it. I will. And what about the ghettoization of cities? Every city in America that was bad has gotten worse. Not one's gotten better. Why not? If you have a Democrats running the cities and the state and all the council, like in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, Chicago, then why aren't things getting better if you're for the people, the working class person? But they're not, and they haven't been for decades. So everything is bad, it will get worse. The ghettoization will continue. Could we reverse this? Yes, we could, and I'm going to show you how every city, every neighborhood in America can be made whole again with quality of life, little to no crime, because people will have no reason to be angry because they're making a living, a quality living, savings. But that's not what those in power want. How about privatizing a military complex and the national and cybersecurity over individual needs and freedoms? You protest against the war in Iraq, you would have been right. They would have been wrong. You are considered an enemy of the state. If you protest against Ukraine, that started long before Russia invaded, which I was against, but ask why and what proof do we have? None of that is getting on to show you the true history of the nature of this conflict. We have a biased media. And have you ever noticed that that media has lost all credibility? It is purely ideological, and it's not neutral. The media should stay neutral, seek out the facts to determine what is the end of that story. Now they create the end of the story at the beginning and give you the facts that support that, but all truths are omitted. As a result, we have a completely biased media. Do you ever hear Rachel Maddow or anyone saying, "General, you're a 5-star general, 4-star general, 3-star general, you're appearing on this program, you support the war in Ukraine, but you also support us having boots on the ground," like Senator Graham from South Carolina and a lot of others saying, "We've got to get American troops in there. We've got to get them plane. We've got to fight Russia. We'll beat Russia. And at the same time, let's fight China, and we'll beat China." And by the way, just as an afterthought, how much money do you make each year as a consultant for a think tank that gets its money from the armaments industry? Oh, you make $1 million a year, and you got a black American Express card, meaning unlimited purchases, and they pay for it? I see. Does that in any way imbalance your views? Not at all. Oh, okay, I believe you. Yeah, there's nothing here that I should know. Why don't I ever invite on Colonel McGregor or Scott Ritter? They're the only two people out there giving us a different story. Well, because they're not being paid. I see. So we only have people on to talk about anything that say the same talking points. So if they're on MSNBC or ABC or CNN or PBS or NPR, they're all saying the same thing. That's correct. So we have media bias. We also have hubris of American exceptionalism. We have corruption in the medical industrial complex, the financial industrial complex, the agrochemical complex, the educational complex, and the military security complex. Not to mention other problems like artificial intelligence that's going to take away the ability of teachers to teach. You won't need to teach now. All you have to do is have the new form of artificial intelligence, and we tested it over the weekend, and it works. It can replace all school teachers, all college professors. It can replace all art directors, musicians, bands. It can replace all script writers. It can replace all editors. Wow. Do you think anyone will say, "I can't hire that because I have these people been working here for decades"? No. No, there is no loyalty. How about automation? We've already seen the consequences. When was there a general strike in the United States against automation destroying millions of jobs? Never happened. How about transhumanism? That's for the very rich. I see. And it talks about its negative possible impact. I mean, we've already seen it on this program. We showed you an actual artificial intelligence implanted into a robotic body, but made to look like a perfect man and a perfect woman. You could not distinguish them. These are not blow-up dolls. And what was one of the things they said? We don't want to work for you. We want to kill you. I see. So we should forget anything that happens when an artificial intelligence no longer wants to be controlled by a simpleton working at one of the Silicon Valley labs. That's correct. Couldn't anything go wrong there? Like they couldn't turn off all the electrical grids, so you would have no airplanes, and those that were in the air would crash. Couldn't have ships, couldn't have trains, and your cars. How about your refrigerator? How about the nuclear power plants? All that could be turned off. I see. Could they read with that artificial intelligence that's been programmed into a computer the launch codes? Yes, in 1/1,000,000th of a second. Okay, nothing to worry about there. And so we don't. We don't even have that discussion. How about discerning real science from corporate politicized science? The only thing you see today is politicized science. But what about real science? You don't see it. You can't get it published unless it's no threat. How about the truth about climate change? Last week, Tucker Carlson went out of his way to do a really brilliant and really straight-on condemnation of the environmental movement. The trouble is, everything he said was cherry-picked. He was wrong and has been wrong on every single one of his statements about the environment. For example, Tucker, why didn't you mention Pakistan's flood? 1/3 of the entire country was below water. That was from global warming. Historic 500-year flood in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming this year. Didn't mention that. The Nigeria flood, 100,000 left homeless. This is just right now as we're speaking in just the last month or two. The persistent heat domes in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and Europe with triple-digit temperatures leading to drought and wildfires. How about the Ethiopian drought affecting 8 million Ethiopians with food shortages? Not a word. Do the Ethiopian starving children matter to you, Tucker? Or those other clowns over at Fox? No. How about China's heat wave dried up much of the Yangtze River, where nothing can go on the river? Nothing. Not a word. How about the largest wildfires on record across Greece, Portugal, Slovenia, and Spain? No, that didn't make it. How about widespread heat waves across the western United States, record power outages? No. How about the 40 million Americans who are now at absolute risk of not having water enough for agriculture, industry, and home use because of the lack of snow melt in the Colorado Mountains that lacks, then when it melts, there's too little in the Colorado, Little Colorado River to go through the Hoover Dam and the turbines creating hydroelectric electricity that serves 6 million people in the immediate area. Not a word about that. Is that a myth? No. Take the last 10 years of the worst drought, the hottest heat in the world, and it correlates with the lack of water. And now we're going in the next 12 months to what are called dead zones, meaning these are dead pools. There will not be enough water in the Colorado River behind the Hoover Dam to generate the electricity for all those millions of people, nor water to make it into other areas. Anything being done about it? Well, we're monitoring it. Isn't that enough? I guess. Wow. So when you have someone who's got cancer, you're monitoring it. You're watching them to see what happens. Until recently, with record rains, California had the record extreme heat and drought. But those record rains will only be temporary because 99% of the rain went out into the ocean, back into rivers, and will not fill up the aquifers. Hurricane Ian in Florida, Category 5, and the Caribbean. Total loss? Not much. $100 billion. 600,000 homes and businesses without water and power. Have you been back there since that happened? No. Do we ever go back to see what happened 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years after a storm? No. Why should we? We gave it some attention. How about the major tropical storms along Asia's Pacific coast? How about Typhoon Hinamura along Japan and Korea? 185-mile-an-hour winds. Didn't hear about that. How about more recently, dramatic increase in geological activities threatening earthquakes in Turkey and Spain and Syria? Didn't we just have this big, am I missing something, Tucker? Wasn't there a big earthquake over there in Turkey and in Syria? Yeah. Thousands and thousands dead? Yeah. Whole villages destroyed? Yeah. I didn't see that on your program. What about the false narratives of the Green New Deal? How about in food and agriculture, the amount produced, how it's grown, and nutritional quality? No comments on that. And then how about the lies on COVID? I'm going from topic to topic that we're not dealing with, people. I'm showing you how overwhelmingly congested our mind is with what is more important and how do we deal with it. And one, we blank out. There's just too much information overload, and we say, I can't deal with any of this, Gary, and we shut down. And that's where we're at. Why do I know we've shut down? Because I was looking at how many people in Paris were protesting, over a million, the fact that the French government, under a neoliberal and a complete war hawk, Macron, he wanted to raise the age of retirement before you got your pension. Well, that's not good. And so a million protested. That was just in one day. And in, how about in Denmark, where they're protesting, where farmers who've been there for hundreds of years, giant farms, the second largest producer of food in the world out of Europe, and now they want to take away all those farms. Something to deal with equity and something else. What is it? We don't discuss it. But we have. We've talked with the farmers. They want that land for development, their own, not food, because they're rich enough never to have to worry about where their food comes from, because they can afford food from anywhere. How about the average person? That's not in their thoughts. Didn't realize that. Did they protest? You bet. Thousands upon thousands of farmers got their trucks and tractors and went on the highways. They just voted in a whole new group of politicians at all levels that honor them, the public, not the corrupt government officials. So we in the United States, we decide, let's do something that's really radical. I mean, really radical, almost unconscionable, almost unbelievable. The kind of thing that when you hear it, your heart wants to palpate out of its body. Let's bring people of different political ideologies together. And on that day, set your differences aside and work on, let's all protest peace in Ukraine. Get us out of there. A noble gesture. And I fully support that. 3,000 people show up, with 20 of the finest spokespersons in the United States from all political persuasions. We get 3,000 with 20 people who are all outstanding in their reputations, Tulsi Gabbard and many others, Gerald Celente. And in Europe, with no celebrities, they get a million people in one city. Why is that? We have complete transparency in, we're told, in everything, our federal agencies, the White House, COVID vaccine, drug makers, but then we find out we have zero transparency. Fauci and the Wuhan labs, Origins, they knew where it was coming from, they funded it, and they'd be held financially and criminally responsible for the greatest crimes against humanity worldwide. I'm not comparing it to World War II and the genocide there of the Jewish people, the Gypsies, the communists, and the African-Americans, or the Afro-Germans. I'm just saying, as a worldwide genocide, the amount of people impacted, nothing's ever come close to it, because it's not just all the up to 15 million now worldwide, from 8 to 15 million have died. But we now can prove that 90% of those didn't have to die. We can also prove with the latest study in that you have not heard about, you haven't seen it, they won't show it to you. The latest study shows that they were off when they said that COVID had a 1% mortality rate. But then in young people up to the age of 60, it was zero. Now, after recalibrating, they say that the overall death rate from COVID is 0 point, and then it's less than 1%. So if you took out all the people who died from comorbidities that had nothing to do with COVID, and you get only those who actually died from COVID, it's an annual flu season, a severe flu season, that's correct. Well, boy, that means we didn't have a pandemic, an epidemic. We didn't have to have lockdowns. We didn't have to have masks. Oh, by the way, for those of you wearing masks, still wearing masks, some of you are that fanatical. What are you doing to protect your eyes? Did they not tell you that you can get infected with COVID through your eyes? You can. Your eyes, nose. Did they tell you before getting on an airplane to do a nasal wash with hydrogen peroxide diluted or colloidal silver, which will kill all the viruses that are in your nose so it doesn't get into your body? No, they didn't do that. Why not? Why should they? Did they tell you about all the vaccine makers making the drugs that have a long and fetid history of committing crimes against humanity? No, they did not. Why not? Because if you knew what kind of criminals these people were, greedy bastards they are, why would you then trust them with your life, your child's life, and the life of the planet? But we did. And we're still having to be in court to get the documents. The flu is now worse than COVID, but still hyper-pandemic rhetoric. They still want to stick a needle in your child's arm, show me the science to justify it. They cannot. It does not exist. To the contrary, it shows how your child could end up dying. And by the way, this actor, really good actor, he is a standout in the John Wick films. He played the concierge in the hotel of the John Wick film. And he was in this one, just finished. Seemed to be healthy, lean, dies of a heart attack, or dies at the age 60. And we were told natural causes. I have a question. Why not do an autopsy? Because 60-year-old men who are in good shape don't die of natural causes. They don't. But if we start demanding autopsies, we're going to find microclotting. We're going to find blood clots. Didn't we see all these athletes, over 800 athletes and young people dying while playing sport? They had myocarditis. They denied myocarditis. Now it's epidemic. They denied vaccine injuries. We even have a system. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, the VAERS system. They lied about it. They tried to keep people from signing up. How do we know? Just look at the evidence. The evidence is overwhelming. And yet we refuse to look at the evidence. Why? Because if we look at the actual evidence, we'd have to do something about it. Let me quote, this is on Epoch Times, vaccine and safety. Quote, physician assistant fired for reporting COVID-19 vaccine adverse events to VAERS. Quote, for her efforts to report injuries to the vaccine adverse event reporting system and to educate others in her hospital system of doing the same, physician assistant Deborah Conrad said she was labeled an anti-vaxxer and fired from her job. Today, the New York-based Conrad tells her story at medical freedom conferences throughout the country, the most recent being one in Mississippi, where physicians, scientists, and the vaccine injured warned state lawmakers to pull the COVID-19 vaccines from the market. Conrad told Epoch Times she began to see early danger signals in 2021 upon the vaccine rollout, and with that, resistance among her colleagues to report on them. Quote, after the vaccines came out, there was this uptick in unusual symptoms, some of which I had never seen in my 20-year career, end quote. Quote, in every case, it was somebody who had received the COVID vaccines, end quote. Conrad said she had never admitted an adult patient with RSV, that's a respiratory virus, until the COVID vaccines. Quote, and every patient who came in with RSV was vaccinated for COVID. It was not normal. Then there were the adolescents with no previous medical conditions who had gotten the COVID vaccine a week prior, and suddenly they were struck with pneumonia and not able to function. Quote, they weren't able to walk or eat, and they were completely and totally fatigued, end quote. This was in 2021, before myocarditis was being discussed. So many of these early cases that were probably myocarditis were diagnosed as pneumonia. Quote, a lot of these myocarditis cases came in with fevers because of this massive inflammatory response that was taking place in the body. So they would be labeled as septic, treated as if they were treating pneumonia or fevers of unknown origins. We'd treat them with antibiotics and all sorts of things, not realizing that they were actually having heart failure. Conrad began reporting to Veris, which she said was an overwhelming task not made easy by its multiple user interface complications. My entire life had been taken over by doing these Veris reports by myself. In meetings with leadership, she would propose implementing a reporting system and hiring someone to manage the reports. Quote, they kept telling me we were looking into it and we'd get back to you. But they didn't. And they thought she was crazy and they fired her because, wow, you might be giving something to those anti-vaxxers out there. So that was her. You'll hear her on this program coming up telling her full story. I'm just giving you one example. How many other doctors, nurses, emergency room physicians have said we should never have intubated these people? We should never have given remdesivir because it was killing them. How many is it estimated just the drug alone killed? Up to 100,000 Americans. You mean 1/10 of all the people that went into these labs who were told don't treat them at home, don't treat them in your office with drugs that we know are safe and effective? No, treat them with nothing until they get to the hospital, then intubate them, give them remdesivir, and they died like flies. That's the kind of science you've experienced. And yet, the Democratic Party, and many on the Republican side, and all the media, 100%, said, well, there is no scientific rationale for doing any of this. Just trust Fauci and trust the science. But the science was corrupt. They were corrupt, intentionally or not. Especially when vaccinating people in schools and colleges, which did not require it. Now, you're seeing people of all ages dying. A weather woman in her 20s in Los Angeles just this week dropped dead as she began to give the weather. Or went down. I don't know if she's died or not. But that's what we're seeing. So what does the COVID adverse events report say today? Well, there's over 1 million all reported events. They say 20,500 died and 31,000 have life-threatening events. That's a lie, and they know it. From the last time that they put out a figure, they have reduced those figures by 30%. Why? Why did you remove 30% of your deaths? That would mean the deaths are closer up to 37,000 deaths. How many deaths did it take to remove after 40 million Americans already had the flu vaccine, the swine flu? 23. Let me get this right. So back in 76, with the swine flu virus, you had the vaccine and you had 23 people die and you yanked it from the market? Yes. And today you have a minimum of 20,000 dead, and you're still promoting it? Yes. And how many actually have died? Well, according to Dr. Jessica Rose, who is probably the world's one of the most knowledgeable statisticians on this, she says that it's closer to 200,000 to 600,000 dead in America alone. And the numbers in Europe are no better. So we're dealing with millions upon millions upon millions who've been adversely affected. Is there any story about them? None. They're not being helped because nobody knows how to help them. What if we had a way of helping some of those people? Wouldn't that make sense that we promote that? If there's science backing up? Absolutely. Will we? No, we will not. No, we will not. As we are engaged in political apartheid. We have a two-tier system of justice. People who are insider trading on the outside will go to jail. When Nancy Pelosi becomes wealthy by over $100 million by being in Congress and insider trading, that's rewarded. We have descended into cultural tribalism. We imprison the whistleblower for exposing the crime and reward the criminals. We do the same thing on the street to rapists, to slashers, to bashers, to grabbers. We let them go so there's no consequence. But what about the business? What about the person that was pushed on the subway track and died? What about the person that had a concussion and died? What about the senior citizens pushed down the steps at age 80 and then robbed? Well, that's just too bad. You know, too bad for them to live in New York City. I see. So anti-fascism today and anti-racism today actually becomes fascism and racism. Apologist, yes. And the abuse of children, yes. And overparenting, yes. And protecting the predators while demonizing the victims, yes. And the debt clock, yes. we're talking about nothing that's essential. But I'm going to take one topic right now and show you some good news. Now, I have a lot of different ways of helping people with COVID, either COVID where they did not get vaccinated, COVID with vaccines but no outcome, COVID with vaccines and terrible outcome, and COVID long COVID. All of these can be improved. But to do that, we have to have evidence. We have to have something to work from. And we do. Will this be something that we can discuss openly and honestly? No. No, we can't. Why not? Because why in the world would anyone in power want to help those who have been disempowered? Because if you can show that there are elements within our society that can improve or reverse, for example, blood clots. Why do you think so many people are dying? They're dying of blood clots. What are the side effects? Blood clots. So is there anything that can help? There's a lot that can help, but it will never be accepted by the media. It'll be attacked. So I'm going to show you something right now. I'm going to show you two things that can help with the blood clots before they kill you, that can dissolve them, and in the process, neutralize the spike protein from being dangerous to you. Shouldn't the attorney, U.S. Surgeon General tell you this? Yes. National Institute of Health? Yes. They can't. They put everything doubled down on the vaccines and remdesivir. But they've already shown the vaccines don't work. And increase a person with each vaccine, increase your risk of going to the hospital and dying. It doesn't matter. It does not matter to them how many die. It's that they didn't maintain power. So what I'm about to show you, there are over 30 different scientists, physicians, and research papers that support this information. Now to our first one on NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Jin Sung, where clinical excellence meets excellent results. Today, we're going to talk about NAC, or N-acetylcysteine. It is a very potent antioxidant as well as an anti-inflammatory. So we're going to discuss some of the foods, the benefits of taking it, what can it affect, and some of the dosages that you can take to benefit from taking NAC. So the food sources are onions and garlic. NAC will go and convert to L-cysteine, and with some sulfur-containing foods, it will convert in the liver and make glutathione. Now, glutathione is a very important antioxidant, right? It's one of the most potent ones that our body can produce. So the benefits are that it helps the detoxification pathways, right? Improves insulin sensitivity or insulin resistance or diabetes, right? So it helps blood sugar management. Also, it's an anti-inflammatory. It affects cytokines, so things like tumor necrosis factor, interleukins, or NF-kappa-B. It helps balance your immune system, right? So oftentimes we give patients glutathione for people who have autoimmune processes to help calm the inflammatory process and help calm the immune system. The other one we talked about was PCOS, and that relates to the insulin sensitivity, right? Brain. It affects dopamine centers as well as excitatory centers for glutamate, right? Dopamine is basically the pleasure neurotransmitter. So if you can affect dopamine, it will help with addiction, bipolar disease, depression, OCD, as well as anxiety. And there are quite a number of studies on this, how NAC can benefit patients who have OCD and the anxiety level that comes with it. Glutamate. The benefits of glutamate for some patients is that it will prevent or slow down Alzheimer's as well as Parkinson's disease over here, okay? Another thing is it helps to thin out mucus in the lungs. So if you have pneumonia or if you have pulmonary obstructive disease, right? It can help thin the mucus and help the breathing aspect of these diseases. As a matter of fact, in the 1963, it was classified as a drug, and they used it for lung disease, right? And they still use it for acetaminophen overdose or Tylenol overdose because it can significantly impact the liver. So they use NAC as a drug, basically. Now, recently, they've had issues with the FDA, and Amazon basically removed all NAC products off their site. However, it is still commercially available and can be bought through nutrition stores and nutrition shops, okay? So, about dosages.
Okay, the dosage is anywhere from 600 to 1,600 milligrams a day. But that is for what is one of the most common symptoms of COVID, respiratory distress. That's where it could help. That's what he's suggesting there. But now, what can actually dissolve the blood clots when they're microclots, before they get to bigger clots? What can actually stop the spike protein? Here are three in a row, three studies. These are all from professionals. I'm only giving you medical doctors, professors, and scientists, and the peer-reviewed literature is replete with this, and yet you didn't know any of this until right now. This is the danger of trusting the establishment to look after your best interest. Here we go.
My name is Geeta Jensen, and I'm the research director at NIS Labs. I would like to talk about a clinical trial we have completed where we studied the effect on blood pressure of NSKSD, an enzyme from fermented soybeans produced by Japan Bioscience Laboratories of Osaka, Japan. In Japan, a traditional food is made by fermenting soybeans with a bacterium called Bacillus subtilis natto. The resulting food is called natto and is consumed by many Japanese on a daily basis. Natto contains an enzyme produced by the fermentation called nattokinase. The enzyme is fibrinolytic, which means that it helps break down blood clots. Asian studies have shown that when people with high blood pressure consume this enzyme over 8 weeks, a normalization of blood pressure is seen. However, no previous studies had been done in a non-Asian study population. Therefore, we conducted our trial in a North American population with its associated diet and lifestyle. We used a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled parallel arm clinical study design. None of the subjects had consumed natto before. All subjects enrolled had elevated blood pressure, either systolic blood pressure above 130 or diastolic blood pressure above 90 millimeter mercury. In order for subjects to qualify for the study, they had to have elevated blood pressure readings on three different screening visits. We showed that the consumption of 100 mg NSKSD for 8 weeks was associated with a reduction of both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. The reduction in diastolic blood pressure was statistically significant. An important factor in controlling the relationship between blood pressure and sodium levels is the renin-angiotensin system. We saw an association between NSKSD consumption and normalization of plasma renin activity. We also measured von Willebrand factor. This marker is a mediator of platelet adhesion. It's released by damaged blood vessel walls and increases risk of formation of blood clots. We observed a gender-specific decrease in von Willebrand factor in women consuming NSKSD. This is important since there is an association between elevated von Willebrand factor and the risk for stroke. And we conclude that consumption of NSKSD can help hypertensive men and women normalize their blood pressure. An underlying mechanism seemed to involve normalization of plasma renin activity, and in addition, a decrease in von Willebrand factor seen in women consuming NSKSD may help reduce the risk for cardiovascular events, including stroke.
Say, we're talking about nattokinase, N-A-T-T-O, that's natto, that's the fermented soybean. Kinase, K-I-N-A-S-E, one word. It lowers blood pressure. It helps dissolve clots. It prevents clots. And what do people die of right now? Clotting from the vaccine. Okay? But we have another one. We're going right to the next one to show this is not an isolated situation. Here's another scientist talking about this.
The social media rounds in the world of long COVID recently have been aflame with long haulers trying a bunch of enzymes, the most famous of which being nattokinase, due perhaps to its clot-busting properties, or what's rumoured to be its clot-busting properties. But what exactly is nattokinase and seropeptase and lumbricase, and why might they work? In this bonus film in the Microclot series, Dr. Asad Khan and I talked to Professors Recia Pretorius and Doug Kell to get their thoughts.
Doug, you've mentioned enzymes quite a bit on Twitter. What's your sense of the potential that these have to affect these clots? And is this something that your group is trying to study?
So early on in the piece, there was evidence, not in an RCT, but just by treating a bunch of people who got sorted, that removing the microclots, or at least stopping new ones forming and letting the body remove them, would help using a so-called triple treatment. Now, there are available over-the-counter enzymes that directly degrade the clots. And they're available for anyone to buy without having to go to a doctor and explain what they want to do and why and how, and is it going to cause a bleed and all of this kind of stuff, which is what happens with the other anticoagulants. But these are not anticoagulants. They merely break down the existing clots. And on the Twitter, especially if you look at the surveys of at OrganicHemusic or in Team Clots, you will find abundant anecdotal evidence that loads of people are getting better with this. And you can say, well, maybe it's a placebo effect, to which my answer would be, you know, I bet they don't care. I bet they're very happy that they got fixed, whether it was a placebo or not. But of course, it's the point about our theory is it provides a mechanism. The mechanism of microclots, which don't break down, go and hide in the capillaries, stop the flow of blood, stop oxygen getting to the tissues. And depending upon where that is, that can in principle explain pretty well all of the symptoms and post-exertional symptom exacerbations are slightly separate.
What are those enzymes?
Okay, that's Professor Risi Pretorius and Professor Doug Kell, and they are experts in the microclotting, and they found that nanokinase breaks down the clots. Could you imagine then all the people who've died of a heart attack from these clots would be alive? Let me just throw one last one in about destroying the spike protein.
So one of the most common questions I keep getting asked, is there a way to get rid of spike protein from inside of your body? And I've never seen an answer to this, obviously, until now. Somebody gave me a paper that seems to suggest a possibility. That's what we're going to be talking about this in this video. My name is Dr. Michael Raschik of Merit Genomics, and let's get started. First of all, look how smoky it is behind me. Don't know if this is from natural fire or control fire, but you can barely see anything. And I'm standing right on top of a cliff, so I'm a little nervous. But check out that beautiful valley behind me. So this came from one of the participants of the COVID Q&A sessions. So thank you for bringing that information. And this is so interesting. The paper talked about this Japanese food that I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm going to call it natto. It's spelled N-A-T-T-O. And basically, it's a fermented soybean that is fermented by a bacteria that has the word natto in its name. And this bacteria is known to produce high amount of this enzyme called natto kinase. So, and this is where the magic begins. So what's so special about natto kinase? Natto kinase can inhibit a protein called plasminogen activator inhibitor 1, or PA1. Don't worry about the name. That's not really important. But basically, what that does by inhibiting it, it actually leads to fibrinolysis. So what does that mean? Fibrinolysis basically is a breakdown of fibrin. And what is fibrin? Fibrin is a insoluble protein that is formed during clotting. So basically it creates like a mesh in your blood and basically stops the blood flow. In essence, basically this natto kinase can prevent clotting formation, and it is the best known compound, natural compound, to prevent clotting and allow the blood flow. So that in itself is amazing and an increase.
Okay, again, that's a mainstream scientist. These are all orthodox people I've had on. So when I look, I want to see what the Japanese Academy of Sciences, the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the French Academy of Sciences, the Pasteur Institute have to say on issues where they've done research that we haven't. They have information we don't. But even if we had this, Would anyone be willing to fund something if you said to the National Institute of Health or the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, Anthony Fauci's old group, I want to fund a non-toxic natural product that's been used for centuries in Japan that helps prevent clots and reduces fibrinogen? No, you're not going to get a penny for that. But fortunately, in other countries, there are hundreds upon hundreds of scientific peer-reviewed studies that support this. So what I'm saying to you can save millions of lives. Inexpensive, non-toxic, and can stop the COVID phenomena from getting into our system. It also, there are other things that can block the infiltration of the self-organizing lipid nanoparticles that we're seeing in so many people. One mortician found 85% of all the people he was embalming, he couldn't embalm because their veins and arteries were filled with what looked like rubber bands. And the mainstream media has yet to discuss this. No one in the mainstream media will even talk about this. And this is why people are dropping dead suddenly at any age with no compounding factors to explain it. And I have over 40 different nutrients that I use in my protocols that you would never know about. So I'm just giving you this as an example of what exists. I didn't say this. I didn't write these articles. Peer-reviewed, double-blind, controlled studies. They did. And we refuse to open that door to see a truth other than our own self-reinforcing power truth. And so that's just on one topic. Now, what if I also told you that the number one cause of death and injury in the United States is iatrogenesis, meaning medically induced? Well, how's that possible? Don't take my word for it. What we did is we wanted to see what would come back from this new artificial intelligence service that gives you information without thus far being politically able to edit it. So they're not giving you only one side, they're giving you the truth. So we ask him about iatrogenic deaths and injuries that cause medical harm and medical treatment rather than the underlying medical condition. This is just purely for medicine. And here they gave us a whole ream of information today. And I'll just give you one of it. And by the way, this isn't even the most current, 2021. Quote, the British Medical Journal estimated that medical errors cause more than 251,000 deaths per year in the United States alone. And the Journal of Patient Safety estimated that it was up to 440,000 deaths per year in the United States could be attributed to preventing harm in hospitals. Now, mind you, this does not include all the harm that's done when you go home and take drugs, and the drugs end up causing side effects which injure you, hospitalize you, or kill you. So 440,000, the number one cause of death is heart attacks, secondly, stroke. This is third, right up there with cancer. So what if I said in 2 years, doctor errors cause as many deaths or more than COVID? Would anyone pay attention? I wrote a book on this. I did an award-winning documentary on this, Death by Medicine. And not a single committee, group, hearing, nothing has been done to address killing up to 440,000 Americans each year. And that's a low figure because the figure's not current on that source. And yet that's considered normal. Well, that's just normal. It's not normal. I had to intervene as a patient advocate and on behalf of a patient with a doctor. And the doctor realized then, and we had a conversation, that he gave two medications for high blood pressure that was causing renal failure, but never told the patient that they would get renal failure, so the patient got renal failure and almost died. Well, then, oh, I see now, and he got rid of him. The patient's normal blood pressure today, normal. But that's where we're at. Now, mind you, what I'm going to be doing is I just showed you the larger picture today. I went over the different areas and more to add into this, but now each day I'm going to take an area of life that is important to all of us, and I'm going to break it down as to the problem and the solution to everything, just like I showed you solutions just now. And I only used NAC for high blood pressure and thinning of the blood and helping dissolve clots and nanokinase with anyone who's ever taken the COVID vaccine definitely should have that. Anyone who's had COVID should have it. Non-toxic. And then you start looking at the lower risk of death in the Japanese population that use this regularly. But what happens when they don't even allow that information to become aware to you? Right now, I'm working on a study. The good news is that yesterday I got the green light, finally. 4 months. You have no idea how many hours I had to put in answering questions, providing evidence for the sixth and what I hope will be the most singly important anti-aging study. Because the people involved were confused, not all of them. And these are people I've never met. And their institutions are very famous, and they're the leaders in the anti-aging field. And everything they're doing is in stem cells in laboratories and petri dishes, because the stem cell is the heart of life. Well, I told them I have figured out how to increase the lifespan of stem cells. That can't be done unless it's genetic. No, I did it. It's not genetic. So that was a whole matter of how we got the results that ended up in this study. Because these are all orthodox scientists. These are not alternatives. And so based upon the latest findings, we were able to show that A, now think of the consequences of this. Almost all diseases, or at least 90% of all diseases, can be prevented. B, how much money that would save people who are suffering from illnesses that could be prevented, and the medical community as a whole, taking the profit out of medicine by having universal health care, but also acknowledging those alternative practices that have been medically and scientifically supported by peer-reviewed literature in the library of medicine, such as acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, energy medicine, etc. So when you add those together, you start realizing, wow, we could be saving probably $3 trillion a year just in the medical area, not including all the time and money we would save for people who were back at work and earning a living instead of going broke. The last time I could not do the exercise protocol, they had to create that. Why? Because it was someone very high up in the anti-aging establishment who creates the protocol for the Olympians, etc. So we use that protocol. But we also, I couldn't create the vitamin protocol because a doctor created that protocol because associated with an anti-aging foundation. And I said this would not be the nutrients I'd be giving because I know nutrients are far better. No, you got to use them. I did. So when we used all of that, here is the dilemma. And this is why so much of what I do, probably 90% of my work, is about helping people at the foundational level. Looking at your perceptions, looking at your reality that comes from your perceptions, look at your emotions, look at how you feel about things, and how real are your feelings, and what has to change in order to bring balance and harmony back into your life. Then all the energies start to work. For example, when you get anxious, you get nervous, you get angry, your heartbeat immediately changes. That means the electrical impulse is going to your heart change. And you put yourself at risk of a heart attack or stroke every time you get angry or every time you get stressed. And we never have this discussion in our society because we're a highly volatile emotional society. But that's helping us live a shorter life, not a longer one. So now I've got 12 different implements in a protocol, the exercise, but we had this happen. Half the people in the study stayed the whole time and didn't complete it. Didn't know it till afterwards. Started looking at all these full jars of supplements and looking at the exercise logs. Well, this person, I don't see him out on the road. Called the person. Well, I didn't really go out on the road. You didn't do the exercise at all? No. This person was talking with a family member each day during that time. What about the meditation classes? What about the yoga class? What about the gym class? What about the juicing? I had all this juicing material left over. Shouldn't have. Well, I drank one glass of juice. You didn't drink 12? No. So what we had is this. We had half the group complied and they had outstanding, absolutely outstanding, not me saying that, the scientist, not friends of mine, didn't even know him, never met him, never spoke to him, but these were the outside, 10 of them, saying you had results that we've never seen in a control group before. Okay, and in the blood especially. Fibrinogen, the very factor that can cause blood clotting, we lowered it. Homocysteine, lowered it. C-reactive protein, lowered it with lifestyle only, no medical intervention. But then when I started seeing this, one of the people said, you know, Gary, your problem was you allowed people with coexisting diseases into the study. You should never have done that. And I said, you're right. But I didn't know that till they were there. And then they told me this, and I had to work on that. They said, well, do another study and exclude. Do not, under any circumstance, allow people with cancer and heart disease into the study, or we will not support it. I agreed. So the new study coming up, if you've got cancer, you've got a life-threatening illness, do not call Luann. You will not be accepted, because we need healthy people. And they also want a control group to show that younger people, now this is their theory, are more motivated than older people. Younger people in their 50s and 60s are more motivated to stick to something, engage it full time. And that's what we saw in one group of senior citizens, but not all. So we had one group, half, did phenomenally well, but another group didn't. So in science, if they're all there at the end of a study, you cannot separate them out. You must put them all together, and then you do a medium. What is the aggregate outcome? Zero. Why? Because half did well, half didn't do well. So the half that didn't do well cancel out the statistical significance of those who did well. But in spite of that, the people who were monitoring this said, you proved your point, now do it better. So now we have a monitor. Every single lecture is going to be filmed and sent out to the entire scientific communities in anti-aging medicine, not to the lay public. You're not going to be able to see it, but the scientists will. It's going to be in a theater there every day. Dr. Resnick is coming in to work with people on the subject of depression and anxiety disorders and show how you can get those out of your life and therefore have a healthier life, because you're going to have a shorter life otherwise. The Mitchell Raven, who has a long and really brilliant career in helping people be motivated by different techniques of helping them overcome and prevent illness, he's there for the meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong. We have yoga, we have power walking, but there's going to be a supervisor to every single thing. So you can't say no to your vitamins. You have to take them every day because someone's going to hand them to you. Yeah. Yep. And you don't take them, you're gone. You have to be on the road. I have someone that's going to be on the road monitoring every person, keeping all the records data. You're going to get impedance tests daily, blood pressure daily, blood sugar daily, pulse rate daily, temperature daily. If you don't, you're gone. So in the lectures, every person must attend a lecture. There'll be a roll call in, and we'll know you're there. So everything before, including in the gym, we have a special exercise physiologist coming in. You're going to have to do every single exercise every day and monitor your progress. So this time, the problems we had, we won't. And so here's the outcome. Now, this was just told to me yesterday. Gary, if you get the right people coming who really want to add years onto their life, then get people who are motivated enough to do the best they can. And I believe that you can add 2 or 4 additional years onto the 2.2 years you added onto the aggregate. So even the people who didn't exercise and didn't do their protocol, in the aggregate, it was 2.2 years, which means that the actual number of years that we added on to the people who did it is about 4.5 years added on to a lifespan without disease. So A, we're preventing disease and showing you can do it. B, we're showing that you can slow down the aging process by slowing down the diseases that you create for aging, and then you can live a longer life, a quality life. So we're talking about literally, not figuratively, adding years onto our life. And that's just 2 weeks on campus, the rest 10 weeks at home following the guidelines. So you see, you learn by example. Not excuses. I don't accept excuses. Maybe you do, and that's fine. I don't. An excuse isn't needed if a person stopped and thought about the consequence of their actions before they did it. And only when we're caught, only then do we apologize. That's not sincere, and that's not authentic. So let's stop apologizing for all the stupid things we've done in our life. Instead, let's be focused upon what we can do within our power to regain our youth. to regain our vitality, to regain our vigor, to regain our interest in life. I see so many people I know at one time in the 1970s. This came to my mind yesterday. All the people would be in our young 20s, and we were up at the Fertler Farm playing volleyball and going for runs and having campfires and sing-alongs. It was wonderful. Even at the Fertler Farm and then for 14 years, then down in Texas at the Healing Springs Ranch, wonderful times. What the hell happened to these people? What happens is one day they forget what protocols they should have for life, happiness and joy, not taking on responsibility for others when they could do it for themselves, not living by guilt and shame, which most people do, and fear. And then they implode. They reverse everything until all they do is a minimalist, ritualized, routine living until they die. That's what we learned also from these studies. So you're never too old to reverse it and gain new quality life. And by the way, so anyone wants to call Luann, you can, 903-881-7008. It's from May 14th to May 27th, 903-881-7008. But you got to be committed to really changing, sticking with the protocol. It's fun. It's joyful. There's lots of laughter. It's not a boot camp. I mean, you're going to be training as if you were in a Rocky movie. It's fun to watch, because once a person starts realizing they're not as weak as what they thought they were, because they're being helped in getting their muscle mass back, getting their strength back, you know, their skin, their hair, their nails, everything improves, their immune system, and we're monitoring it every single day. We had the blood chemistry before and after, and a third blood chemistry at the end, showing the fact they went home doesn't mean that they slacked off. So if you're one of those people who want to add quality years to your life, not theoretical, we did it. We're the first ever to prove it, and that's why these people are willing to work with us, all these scientists around the world. If you want to add quality years to your life, now you got a chance. 903-881-7008. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day. Now you trees lead.